When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and went to live in Capernaum by the sea in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, that what might have been said through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. On those dwelling in a land overshadowed by death, light has arisen. From that time on, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." As he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen. He said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. He walked along from there and saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. He went around all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness among the people. The gospel of the Lord. At first, the gospel establishes the base of the new ministry, and then the arrest of John being handed over reflects the language of the Passion account later in the gospel. The location of the ministry of Jesus in the Galilee of the Gentiles further emphasizes an important theme of Matthew and also touches the Gentiles in Matthew's community. It stresses the outreach of this new preaching to both Jews and all the peoples of the earth. A great light has appeared on those dwelling in the land overshadowed by death. Light has arisen. What a beautiful image. Light in the darkness. And it can be appropriately applied to our own time. As Jesus begins to preach, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then as Jesus walks by the sea, he begins the selection of his disciples. As I was wondering what to say about this gospel, I half humorously realized, why, this is the very work I've been engaged in since 1993. First in Kenya, and then for the past 7 years, here in California. In a time in which the public image of the church suffered some serious setbacks, but also some good clarification. What sort of young men and women would step forward and choose a life of following Christ in active ministry? I work with them as formation director. First, I must say that these are remarkable young adults, a little bit older than the seminarians of former times, and usually with some sort of life-defining experience or conversion behind them. A vocation in today's world is not an easy transition to a respected and secure career. People who hear the call of Jesus have had to ask some serious questions about their lives. They would have to have a hunger for adventure that reaches beyond the dreams of those who would find satisfaction in the life of an astronaut, musician, a teacher, doctor, politician, or business entrepreneur. They would have to learn a way of life that would find blessing beyond the normal comforts and affection and rich life of a family. They would have to be attracted to that ultimate journey which asks the questions, risks the affections, and engages in the adventure of a life of faith. The image of the comfortable neighborhood pastor, if you're my age, Bing Crosby, the old Going My Way films, or the popular civil rights activist priest, or the priest surrounded by privilege and safety, well, these are simply things of the past. I struggle to create a profile of the young men and women I've worked with during these years. First of all, the candidates would be, these would-be disciples of Jesus, are intelligent, often having degrees and experiences in a successful secular career. More than anything, they're people of personal prayer. In an indifferent world, they look for things that matter. In an uncaring world, they celebrate a warm welcome for the alienated and the victimized. In a world flooded with doubt, they dare to affirm the voice of Christ, inviting people to the most unimaginable of experiences, union with God, the Creator and Father of all. My job is to assist and encourage them in this journey. What a joy it is when such a person, as we say, finds his or her own unique voice. This is always something of a surprise and blessing, though it's the very thing we're working toward. Finding a voice. Saying something that is true, not only accurate, but tested in prayer, risk, and experience through the speaker's own journey in faith. These are not answers from the Catechism, but lived experiences discovered in the journey of faith, a light in the darkness of our time. Again, Jesus is walking with his disciples, and in a land, now our land, our time, on those dwelling in a land overshadowed by death, light has arisen. This year, I watch 5 more young men undergo ordination to the priesthood and journey forth in the darkness of this time. And I have the joyful comfort of knowing that Christ still walks among us, announcing to those in pain, doubt, loneliness, and darkness that a light has arisen and the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is a journey we might all engage in our own way. This is a light we might all embrace.